Joining me in studio this morning, 64th District State Representative Julie Alexander. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Steve.
You roll in here all. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but every time somebody comes in and they're entirely chipper, smiling and ready to roll early in the morning, I guess I'm always
Well, you've been up a long time, haven't you?
I have been.
So that could be a part of it.
And Greg O'Connor, this is his, he's been doing this morning, this shift for decades, yeah. And it's still new to me. So,
well, you know, not only am I just happy to be here, but I truly appreciate the opportunity just to come in and visit.
Sure.
And it's the face-to-face interaction. We've tried it before, distance and virtually, and you need that eye contact to be able to communicate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I feel the same way. As a matter of fact, Shelley Jusick from Jackson Magazine was in last hour, and we kind of said the same thing about Zoom meetings and even worse, phone conference calls, and everybody just kind of talking over one another because you don't have those visual cues to kind of know it's your turn to say something.
Exactly. And in Jackson, Radio Works is to be commended for giving the opportunity for individuals like myself to come in and let others know what's happening. So kudos to you and Jackson Radio Works.
Well, and I hate to be correcting you, but McKibben Media Group these days.
You are right. Jamie, I would be in trouble with that, wouldn't
I? Not, it wasn't
Jamie,
wrong because yes. that was still true when it was Jackson and Radio Works, and everyone's
exactly.
got to get used to the new name, but it's WKHM, and we're glad to have you in studio. And of course, we appreciate, and I think our listeners definitely appreciate a connection to their lawmakers because, mm-hmm. Sometimes you want to hear not just the clip in the news, but a little more behind the scenes of what's going on with negotiations mm-hmm. and stuff before something even becomes a law, but what you're working on. And, I always find it interesting talking to you because you say, well, we're in this committee right now talking about this thing well before it ever becomes, before it ever gets voted on. We can kind of understand what you guys are working on. I really appreciate that insight.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a process, and things need to take a significant amount of time. We get frustrated that they take a long time, but when you reflect on that journey and that path, it makes better legislation. The more stakeholders you bring to the table, the more conversations you're having. And I've always said, I'm not an expert in every field by any means. So if it's an area having to do with broadcasting, I'm calling Jamie, right? I'm calling those individuals that have that expertise in that area. And consulting. And having served as a county commissioner for 6 years prior to the legislature, it's given me the opportunity to network and know who to talk to in our community. And in that same regard, I am so grateful for those that reach out to me saying this legislation is out there. We have some concerns with it. What do you know about it? How fast is it going to move? Is it going to move? What's this process going to look like? So I need to hear from those of you that have interest as well.
One, I think that's, I'll give you a little kudos. You gave us some, I'll give you some, as I feel like you truly take on the role of representative and feel like you're not there representing your own desires or values, but those of your constituents. I think.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. And so to reinforce that, when I arrived in Lansing, everyone said, what legislation are you going to work on? And I said, I don't have any legislation I'm planning on working on. Unless someone brings it to me. And over the years, my goodness, the Jackson community has brought me so many good pieces of legislation, so many fixes that were needed in Lansing. But they weren't my ideas. Mm-hmm. They're those I represent.
Yeah, but you have, I was going to say, even though if you went there with nothing in your pocket that you pet project, you definitely have come up with stuff over the
Absolutely.
Time. Absolutely.
They kind of evolve. And as the chair of House Agriculture and serving on transportation for two committees, two terms now. I thoroughly enjoy transportation as well. So, and I served on education the first time around. Now I'm serving on health policy. And with COVID-19 challenges and telemedicine and the health policy has proved to be very interesting as well. Right now we're looking at some legislation on drug pricing. And I will tell you, I have some regulars that contact me on my personal phone every time they have to buy insulin, the high cost of insulin and how that affects them, impacts them. Why is that? What can we do to lower those costs for families? And those are issues that when I hear from you, it elevates it on my priority screen.
Well, so let me ask you specifically about that. Is it something that you guys are exploring as a price control or some kind of a rule? Or are you looking to remove what barriers there are that there could be a market solution to a price on something like insulin?
Well, it's a combination of all those things. The bill package, it has not even been introduced yet,
sure.
But we have had some testimony on it. About a month ago, we had testimony and just listened to all the stakeholders. Now, I did have a Zoom conference call with one of the groups yesterday, and I said, to be honest, guys, it reminded me of being back in the classroom. Mm-hmm. You were all pointing fingers at each other, right? That's literally what they were doing. And I said, you've got to cut through all that. Every one of them had valid points, but you have to pull off those layers to really find out what that solution might be.
Sure. Well, I look forward to hearing what comes of that down the road. But there was, we were just talking a little bit off the air about something that you had put on the governor's desk and she vetoed. And I guess let's start with a little background on what that was for whistleblowers.
Sure. For many years, the legislators and the governor have approved legislation that allows a state employee to come and have a conversation with their legislator about an issue that they want to make them aware of. Mm-hmm. It's been around for a while, and our governor this last time took that out of, it's referred to the boilerplate, which is the appropriations budget. So the governor said, no, I don't want that in there. We as legislators see value in allowing a state employee to be able to go to their legislator with concerns, with issues, with insight. Here's the important piece, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
It was bipartisan. The Republicans and the Democrats said that's a good rule law to have. It simply protects the fundamental principles that a state government be held accountable and transparent to the people it represents. This law would prohibit disciplinary action against an employee, a state employee, from communicating with their legislators. The Republicans, the Democrats all said it was a good law, put it in front of the governor, and she vetoed it.
That particular portion of it, it's part of a larger scope, but that particular, any reason given as to why?
Well, I printed right here her response. She states, quote, putting that boilerplate into a standalone bill does nothing to remedy the constitutional defects. Whether and how to discipline employees at a core executive power entrusted in part to the governor and in part to the Civil Service Commission. So she does not think that the legislators have a role in this process. And you just mentioned it earlier. I am your representative. Mm-hmm. If I am not being accessible, if I am not here to listen to your concerns, in my opinion, I'm not doing my job. I have 90,000 constituents. She has, 10 million right, in the state. So when you look at the challenges, we need to use our legislators as a sounding block, as someone that the people can go to, and to prohibit state employees from doing so when they have information and insight. To me, that's not good government.
Yeah, well, it seems simply by virtue of being a state employee shouldn't preclude you from having a complaint about the state that you would share with your legislator. Because, I mean, I'm not a state employee, so if I had a concern about something that was happening with state government, then I would speak to my legislator, my representative, about that, right?
Right. So go back to some of the challenges we've had recently, and I think that's a perfect example of I may have a personal opinion on an issue.
Sure.
But if you come to me with a problem or a concern, I'm going to ask you, with my teacher type question, what challenges do you see? What do you want to see fixed? What are your issues with this? I want to understand what you have to offer, what information you want to share. It doesn't matter what I think about the issue. I need to learn and listen from you. And when we put that roadblock up right away, we've stopped the conversation. And if we can't have a conversation where it goes back and forth, we're not getting anywhere. That was part of my frustration in the early stages of COVID-19. When people that mow lawns for a living, in the winter, they plow the snow. And the weather gets nice, they mow lawns, right? There are a lot of people in Michigan. That is how they put food on the table for their family. And when an executive order was issued that said, you can mow your own yard, but you can't for hire go mow someone else's yard.
Mm-hmm.
And my phone was just blowing up with people in that industry, of those businesses. They said, this makes no sense. I can do it safely. I do not have to see anyone. Mm-hmm. There will be no face-to-face contact. There will be no financial transaction. Why can't I do this? And I said, that would be a question for the governor. It's mm-hmm. her executive order. They said, this makes no sense. The frustration when the lack of clarity isn't there. And then what finally escalated it to the next level, some of those same individuals were calling me and saying, the city parks are being mowed by a business. Mm-hmm. How can that business go and mow the city property, but they can't go and mow my 90-year-old neighbor who mm-hmm. can't mow his own lawn? How and why does that make sense? And I think that's all people want. They want an explanation that makes sense, that's fair, that's reasonable, and in addition to have their voices heard.
Mm-hmm. And while in this, I guess, unique right now, because I guess when it comes to executive orders in particular, I think it's clear that the legislature and the governor are at odds, and there's really no communication going on with that at all, is there?
None. Yeah. None whatsoever. Are you aware she just issued, I think she's at 145 executive orders. I think that's the last number I saw. Mm-hmm. But an executive order she just put in place 2-3 days ago, it has to do with water usage, that no one's water can be turned off going to their home. So if you don't pay your bill, they can't turn your water off. But you know what the deadline, you know when that is due to expire?
No.
December 31st, 2020. So she has now written an executive order that's due to expire December 31st, the last day of this legislative term.
Which would imply that she expects emergency powers to still be active at that point as well.
When you start looking at the details, I don't have any indicators that that's not her intent.
Sure. So, moot to even ask, because we just kind of confirmed that there's not a lot of communication, but we're right now the two things that people are hearing about is that the governor may beef up. It's vague in that saying, like, well, finding a way to try to get people to wear more. Likely to wear masks, and I guess the only thing I can take from that is that you would increase the penalty for not doing it. And then the other item would be, do we expect to see anything pulled back or reclosed? And do you have any insight on either of those?
Yeah, I don't from the governor's perspective, but I think what's important to ask is on your local law enforcement. So mm-hmm. we've got a big campaign right now going, election coming up in our Jackson community for sheriff. Mm-hmm. That would be my question for those candidates that are running. You know, where do you stand on this issue? Are you willing to move forward? Again, the question for the prosecuting attorney also, but are you willing to move forward on the enforcement? Because that's where it becomes very difficult and challenging. Another question someone proposed to me recently. At our schools, all adults must be wearing face masks. So parents are coming to me and saying, a parent the other day offered to me, my child is hearing impaired. Mm-hmm. They read lips. Okay, it's not it's a mild hearing loss, but that's how they learn. They've mm-hmm. got to be able to see. And if the teacher has the mask on as mandated, what happens then? Or my child has asthma and can't wear the mask, mm-hmm. right? So where are those accommodations there? Because again, according to the American Disabilities Act, those pieces have to be in place too. So when we just put these executive orders out there, and again, granted, maybe her team has thoroughly vet them, mm-hmm. but then where were the exemptions in that executive order? People are uncertain, they are concerned, and they're just looking for clarity.
Yeah, that's the advice I have mm-hmm. given to people when they ask me. I say, well, you know, like you said, if it's a question about enforcement of something that you understand to be banned or maybe aren't mm-hmm. certain is banned, then I would contact the person who may enforce that and ask them instead of trying to mm-hmm. trying to reach the governor and ask for sure, or go to the frequently asked questions page. Ask the person, if it's in your area, ask the sheriff, call the sheriff's office and say, I'm looking to do this. I understand it to be banned. What's your status? And will I, you know, will I be in trouble if I do it? And then, you know, you're making an informed decision. I think that's a good advice. So what else is good? Any good news? I guess we'd love to hear something good.
Absolutely. So what we know is we just continue to move forward with budget issues and meeting with individuals in district. As the chair of the Agriculture Committee, we host a joint committee recently where we brought the food and beverage industry and talked about the challenges of COVID-19 so that we can be addressing these issues, if there is something we can do to address it, so we can be proactive in the future. You know, we're learning a lot from COVID, and there are some good walkaways, takeaways. I think people are now more cognizant of the role government plays, and truly that elections matter. It's an exciting time and place to be here in our Jackson community and state. It's definitely challenging, but it's a challenge I'm definitely up for.
All right. Gosh, I had one more thing, and it came and left that quickly. Any last items that you want to make sure people know about or want to get in touch with you? How do they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are still working. I have staff that is completely dedicated to unemployment insurance agency claims. So they continue to claim. The agency continues to claim. They're caught up. Everybody's taken care of. And we continue to write them a letter every single week with our priority cases. So for them to say, no one has been waiting since March, I keep giving them a letter. Here are my March people. Here are my April people. Here are my priority cases of individuals still in need. So our office still spends a significant amount of time on that. So if that's something we can help you with, Julie Alexander at house.mi.gov. And again, Steve, we were mentioning earlier, I serve the 64th district, which consists of the city of Jackson and eight surrounding townships. My districts include Hanover, Concord, Pulaski, Spring Arbor, Sandstone, Parma, Summit, and Napoleon. If you live in one of the other Jackson County townships, Rep. Sarah Leitner is your representative.
From the 65th district.
From the 65th, yes.
I always try to remember the numbers. I think we talked about it. I think a lot of people are not necessarily certain who their representatives are. And if you live in the city, they might not know who their council person is and beyond. And so I whenever I have an opportunity, I like to try to
It is important. And you just mentioned city council. I just had a city council person reach out to me via email and ask to meet with me. And again, happy to do that. Mm-hmm. I've always said, don't assume that I know what you know, because you have information, you have insight from your perspective, from your background, from your career, whatever it might be. And our job is to be out there and listen to you and help not only represent you, but make sure that we're spending taxpayers' dollars wisely and creating good policy.
All right. Well, have a good weekend, Julie.
Yeah,
thanks.
Thank you. You too.
64th District State Rep. Julie Alexander.